Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coffee Break French Magazine, Season 1, Episode 1. Et ben voilà, on est de retour.
Nous sommes de retour, Marc. Comment vas-tu?
Très bien, et toi?
Oui, très très bien.
Welcome to this first episode of our brand new Coffee Break French podcast. Now, you might be thinking, is this season 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Well, the thing is, it's not really in the style of our previous seasons. We're just going to be doing an ongoing podcast, bringing you French information, culture, grammar, all the usual wonderful stuff. Et
fantastic.
Bien sûr, je suis là avec mon copain Pierre Benoît.
De retour à nouveau, comme j'ai dit tout à l'heure.
Oui.
Tout va bien. Nous commençons un nouveau programme.
Un nouveau programme, un nouveau projet.
Ouais.
Et donc, on est très contents. Now, there are going to be 3 sections in this podcast for the time being. First of all, we're going to start with a text that is about some element of francophone culture. And then after that, we've got a very interesting section where we've got a question from a member of our audience, and we'll be answering that question here on the show. And then finally, there'll be an element of fun, something fun to finish off with in each episode of our podcast. And we'll be joined by our colleague Susie for that. So we're looking forward to hearing from Susie. Alors, Pierre Benoît, qu'est-ce que tu en penses?
Oh, je trouve ça fantastique qu'il y ait plusieurs parties dans ce nouveau projet.
Oui,
je suis emballé à l'idée que des gens puissent en fait contribuer et poser des questions. On y va, c'est parti.
Okay. We'll be giving you more information later in the show to tell you how you can send us your question. But for now, let's get started with the first segment of our podcast. Ok, alors, pour commencer aujourd'hui, nous avons un texte très intéressant à propos de...
De la raclette, Marc.
La raclette, ok. So it's over to Susie for our text. Let's have a listen to the text and then, of course, we'll discuss it in more detail.
Allez, Susie, c'est à toi.
La raclette est un fromage de lait de vache qui donne son nom à un repas convivial d'origine suisse. C'est un plat qui se mange souvent en hiver, après une journée de ski ou de luge. Au Moyen-Âge, la raclette était consommée par les bergers dans les Alpes de la région de Valais en Suisse et en Savoie et Haute-Savoie en France. Les bergers emmenaient le fromage dans les montagnes et le faisaient fondre sur un morceau de pain. Le terme raclette est dérivé du verbe français racler et désigne le fromage ainsi que le plat. Le fromage à raclette existe en plusieurs parfums, nature, fumé, au poivre, au cumin, aux herbes ou au vin blanc. Il faut environ 200 grammes de fromage par personne. Le plat est traditionnellement accompagné de pommes de terre, de cornichons et d'oignons au vinaigre, de charcuterie et souvent servi avec un vin blanc de la région, comme un fendant ou un pinot blanc. Autrefois, la raclette se faisait au feu de bois, mais aujourd'hui, on utilise des fours à raclette électriques, composés d'un grill électrique et d'une plaque chauffante, que l'on pose tout simplement au milieu de la table, ce qui rend la soirée très conviviale. On met le fromage dans des petites poêles individuelles appelées coupelles et on les place sous le grill jusqu'à ce que le fromage fonde. Les autres aliments, tels que les légumes et la viande, peuvent être cuits sur la plaque chauffante pendant que le fromage est en train de fondre. Ensuite, il ne reste plus qu'à verser le fromage fondu sur les aliments grillés et les pommes de terre, sans oublier de souhaiter à tout le monde bon appétit.
Oh là 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 là, ça met l'eau à la bouche.
Ah oui, Oui, c'est vrai que ça donne vraiment envie de manger. Hein.
I love that expression, ça met l'eau à la bouche. We've used it many times in Coffee Break French and on social media and so on. It means that puts water in the mouth. It makes your mouth water. J'adore. Okay, let's talk a little more about la raclette and we'll go through the text and talk about any interesting vocabulary or grammar covered in this text. So, Pierre-Benoît, can you read the first sentence for us?
Oui. La raclette est un fromage de lait de vache qui donne son nom à un repas convivial d'origine suisse.
Okay, as ever, when we're listening to things, we're trying to pick up key words here. So we've got, first of all, la raclette est un fromage de lait de vache. So it's a cheese from milk of cow.
Yeah.
So a cow's milk cheese. And it also is something else. The cheese itself gives its name to what?
To a dish.
To a dish.
To a particular dish.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be hearing more about that dish in the text. It also says that the dish itself is part of what? Un repas convivial.
Well, yeah, because it would be very much of a shame if you had to eat raclette on your own.
Yeah,
it's something kind of you thing. Have to share.
Exactly. Okay, so let's see what else we hear about la raclette.
C'est un plat qui se mange souvent en hiver, après une journée de ski ou de luge.
Now, you were telling me just before we got started about your ski holiday that you're just back from.
Yes. I was in Switzerland and obviously I had raclette. I've had raclette many times, but I had raclette again. And it's just amazing. And it's got to be, when you've been skiing all day, it's maybe the most comforting thing that you have, you know, to get to fill you up again.
To restore your energy.
Exactement.
After a day on the slope. So, c'est un plat qui se mange. That's interesting because we've got manger, but here we're translating manger with a kind of reflexive form. Because in English, I think we would use, which is eaten, a passive form. So it's a plate, literally a dish, which is eaten souvent en hiver, often in winter. And then?
Après une journée de ski, after a whole day of skiing.
Ou de luge.
What's la luge? You know what's la luge, man?
Well, it's the Olympic event where you would go in your luge, like a bobsleigh, or sledging, I guess.
Sledging.
Sledging in a kind of slightly less Olympic fashion.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear a little about the history of la raclette.
Au Moyen-Âge, la raclette était consommée par les bergers dans les Alpes de la région de Valais en Suisse et en Savoie et Haute-Savoie en France.
Okay, so there are place names here. So don't worry about not fully understanding all of this. We've talked about Valais en Suisse. So Valais, the Valais region in Switzerland. And in Savoie et Haute-Savoie, so two regions of France. But when are we talking here?
Au Moyen-Âge.
So in the Middle Ages.
Yes.
So la raclette était consommée, it was consumed. Did you get this part? Par les bergers dans les Alpes. Par les bergers. What are bergers?
That's the shepherds.
The shepherds. It's a lovely word. Les bergers. Am I right in thinking that you would get berger in la crèche, in the nativity scene?
Yes. But also, if you do raise sheep, you would be called a berger. But in modern days, you would just probably say he's un fermier.
Okay. So a farmer, or perhaps a sheep farmer, if you specifically raise sheep. Okay, so berger, in this case, by farmers and by shepherds, dans les Alpes, de la région de... And we've talked about these regions, Valais in Switzerland and Savoie and Haute-Savoie in France. So let's hear what the berger did.
In those days? Les bergers emmenaient le fromage dans les montagnes et le faisaient fondre sur un morceau de pain.
So this is using the verb emmener. Emmener, one of those lovely verbs that can mean a few things. So the farmers or the shepherds took the fromage, the cheese, up into the mountains, dans les montagnes, et le faisait fondre and made it melt sur un morceau de pain,
on a piece of bread.
So they melted the cheese on a piece of bread.
Le terme raclette est dérivé du verbe français racler et désigne le fromage ainsi que le plat.
Right, so you need to help us here. Le terme raclette, so the term raclette is derived from the French verb racler. Yeah. What does racler mean?
Racler is like when you skim something off the surface.
Okay.
Is that what you say in English?
Yep, to skim it off the surface.
Yeah. So that's racler, so you just take the top off. So I suppose you melt the cheese, and that wee bit that's just melted, okay, yeah, you just skim it off.
Yep.
And enjoy it.
Okay. And it, as the text explains, it designates the cheese and the dish.
The actual dish.
So the dish, which includes other things, as we'll find out.
And nowadays as well, we'll see it later, but the actual
utensil,
the cooking thing, the grill,
cooking thing. That's the technical term. You can see we're better at French than cooking here, I think. Let's go on. Let's hear the next sentence.
Le fromage à raclette existe en plusieurs parfums. Nature, fumée, au poivre, au cumin, aux herbes ou au vin blanc.
Okay, so raclette cheese exists in many flavors, in several flavors. Nature, which is just on its own, the
natural. Can I stop you there, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's quite nice, parfum, because it's a word that we is so different from. Yep. It's a mistake I used to make a lot in English.
Okay.
You know, can have this. You're going for an ice cream, for example, and you know,
you wanted a perfumed ice cream.
Yes. You know, so it's interesting. It's good for our listeners to remember that.
So, it exists in several perfumes. Nature,
flavors.
Which is obviously just on its own. Fumé, which would be smoked. Mm-hmm. Au poivre.
That's pepper.
Au cumin.
Yeah, that'd be cumin.
Cumin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Aux herbes.
That's herbs.
Mm-hmm. Ou au vin blanc.
That's with white wine.
With white wine, okay. And how much cheese do we need?
Il faut environ 200 grammes de fromage par personne.
So roughly 200 grams of cheese for every person that's having the raclette dish.
I would like to add plus ou moins.
Plus ou moins, ça dépend, hein? Ça dépend.
Ça dépend des appétits et ça dépend des petits et des grands.
Let's leave it there. It also depends on how much skiing you've been doing, if you've been
bien
really,
sûr,
really.
Bien sûr, mais c'est ce que je voulais dire. C'est exactement ce que je voulais dire.
So we go on to find out a little more about how the dish is traditionally accompanied.
Yes, sir, Pierre. Le plat est traditionnellement accompagné de pommes de terre, de cornichons et d'oignons au vinaigre, de charcuterie, et souvent servi avec un vin blanc de la région comme un fendant ou un pinot blanc.
Okay, so we've got both food and drink here.
Yeah.
So the dish is traditionally accompanied by potatoes, des pommes de terre, des cornichons, are gherkins.
Gherkins, well done,
Des oignons au vinaigre.
Oui, donc des oignons au vinaigre, so that's kind of a... Pickled onions?
Pickled onions, onions soaked in vinegar or kept in vinegar.
Yeah.
The charcuterie.
Ah, you all know what la charcuterie is, I'm sure.
So that would be meat of some kind, of normally in some way smoked meat or something like that.
Yeah, that would be like your saucisson, your salami, your jambon. Mm-hmm. Okay, cold meat usually.
Cold meat, yeah. Mm-hmm. Et souvent servi avec, and often served with, un vin blanc de la région. So a white wine of the region, and of course we're talking about Valais and Savoie, and indeed further north into Alsace and so on. Yeah. So we mentioned there are two different types of.
We've got a local wine, which is two local wines, mm-hmm. the fondant and the Pinot Blanc.
So a white Pinot grape.
White Pinot, sorry, yes, not a Pinot Noir or Pinot Gris.
And a fondant, which is another white wine of the region. You can also have it with red wine as well.
I'm sure the people would serve it with maybe a Côte du Rhône or, there's no...
Something lighter than a Bordeaux.
Even for white wine, I have had raclette, served with a Chablis, for example.
Ah, okay.
That's nice as well.
Okay. There you go. Some suggestions for you as well. Let's hear what happened in the past, because this starts with a nice word, autrefois.
Oh, j'adore. Autrefois, la raclette se faisait au feu de bois. Mais aujourd'hui, on utilise des fours à raclette électrique, composés d'un grill électrique, et d'une plaque chauffante, et que l'on pose tout simplement au milieu de la table, ce qui rend la soirée très conviviale.
Okay, I love this. We actually had raclette with friends a couple of weeks ago, they used exactly what is described here. So, previously, raclette was made by the wood, by the fire of wood, basically. A wood fire. But today, on utilise des fours à raclette électriques. So you use electric raclette ovens, I guess, or grills.
Yeah.
And they're made up of an electric grill and a heated plate.
Yeah, on top of it.
which you put in the middle of the table.
The whole thing goes in the middle of the table, which makes it very
convivial. It's a great atmosphere because everyone's sharing things and you can cook whatever meat you want on the hot plate.
Yeah.
And then you get little paddles to put the cheese on. But we're coming to that, aren't we?
Yeah. On met le fromage dans des petites poêles individuelles appelées coupelles. Et on les place sous le grill jusqu'à ce que le fromage fonde.
Okay, so you put the cheese in little pans, I guess, individual pans, which are called coupelles. And then you place them under the grill. So the grill is on top, and that's where you're cooking the meat.
But you put the cheese, you put the cheese
in the pan. Yeah, so you put the cheese in the pan, and the pan goes under the grill until, and I love this, until the cheese melts. Now, let's take a closer look at this, because what we've got here is a lovely subjunctive.
Yeah.
Jusqu'à ce que le fromage fonde. So, until the cheese melts. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, what on earth is a subjunctive? Don't worry about the subjunctive. It's not something that you should get your knickers in a twist over. The subjunctive is a lovely concept because it's something that you really get into as you go further with French grammar. And it's just a certain type of verb that you use after certain expressions. And one of them is the word until.
Jusqu'à ce que.
Jusqu'à ce que. So in this case, jusqu'à ce que le fromage fonde. Normally we would say the cheese is melting. Which would
le fromage fond.
Le fromage fond.
That's just a D, there's no E.
So F-O-N-D at the end. But here we've got jusqu'à ce que le fromage fonde. So that's a special type of verb. It's this subjunctive. Okay, we'll not go into any further detail there with that.
Les autres aliments, tels que les légumes et la viande, peuvent être cuits sur la plaque chauffante pendant que le fromage est en train de fondre.
Voilà. So the other food items, les autres aliments, such as, tels que les légumes, the vegetables, et la viande
and
the meat peuvent être cuits. So they can be cooked sur la plaque chauffante, on the heated plate, pendant que, while, le fromage est en train de fondre, is in the middle of melting.
In the process
it's
of melting.
It's a process of melting. Yeah. Lovely. Okay.
En train de, plus infinitive, that's a nice wee phrase.
Absolutely.
Lovely wee phrase. Okay.
And then?
Ensuite, il ne reste plus qu'à verser le fromage fondu sur les aliments grillés et les pommes de terre, sans oublier de souhaiter à tout le monde bon appétit.
Okay, so this is lovely. Ensuite, next, il ne reste plus qu'à something.
Ooh.
A good expression. The only thing left is to do something. So here, il ne reste plus qu'à verser le fromage fondu, so to pour over the melted cheese on the grilled food that you've already grilled and the pomme de terre and the potatoes.
Yeah, but so, you mustn't forget
without forgetting de souhaiter à tout le monde bon appétit, without forgetting to wish everyone bon appétit.
Enjoy your meal, a good,
Well, I think it's time for a little break here because I'm getting quite hungry with all this talk of raclette. We'll be back after the break with our phone-in question. Until then, merci et bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
If you'd like to take your French that bit further, then you may consider signing up for one of our premium courses on the Coffee Break Academy. There's something for everyone, from absolute beginners up to advanced learners, and the premium materials include lesson notes, transcripts, video lessons, exercises, and vocabulary guides, depending on which course you opt for. Head over to coffeebreakacademy.com to find out more.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. Now, this is the part of the show where the star of Coffee Break French is the Coffee Break French listener, you. And in this episode, we have a question from Marcus, who is asking about the agreement of numbers. So let's have a listen to Marcus's question.
Hello, Coffee Break. My name is Marcus. I'm from California in the United States. I've been studying French on and off for roughly 7 years. And my question is regarding numbers. For example, if I want to say he is 21 years old, it would be il a 21 ans. But I saw recently that for the translation of 1001 nights, it is mille et une nuits. So I'm wondering what the phenomenon here is. Why is it like this? Why 21 ans, but mille et une nuits? Could you give me further guidance on agreement of numbers?
Merci beaucoup, Marcus. Now, when we're speaking in French, we need to know if a word is masculine or feminine in order to know whether we use un or une, le or la, and indeed how we describe it with various adjectives. And the same goes for using numbers. Normally, you only need to think about whether it's one house or one book, une maison, un livre. But the same goes if a larger number that you're using ends with a one. So, for example, as Marcus suggested, I am 21 years old would become j'ai 21 ans. 21 ans. So we're using un there because en is a masculine word. Un an. So 21 ans. However, if we were talking about the other word for year, which would be année, which is feminine, une année, and we use année when we're referring to the length of the year. For example, j'ai passé toute l'année en France. I spent the whole year in France. Or j'ai passé un an en France. I spent a year in France. So when we say une année, it's referring to the length of the year. We're reinforcing that. So if we wanted to talk about 21 years using the word année, that would be 21 années. 21 années. 21 years, because année is feminine. The other example Marcus gave was about mille et une nuits. So 1001 nights. That's again because nuit is feminine. Une nuit, so mille et une nuits. However, if we were talking about 1001 days, that would be mille et un jours. Mille et un jours. Now, just while we're mentioning 21 and mille et une and so on, it's important to remember with these numbers, we have to use des traits d'union, which are hyphens in between each of the words of the number. So 20 hyphen et hyphen 1. 21 with two hyphens in the middle there. 21 années, 20 hyphen et hyphen une année. So whenever you have a number like this, you need to use a hyphen. And that goes also for 46 or 99. In between each of the numbers, you need that hyphen. Okay, I hope that answers your question, Marcus. It's a fairly straightforward thing. Just remember what gender the noun is that you're referring to, that you're counting. Now, if you would like to ask a question and potentially feature in a future episode of Coffee Break French, then simply head over to coffeebreakquestions.com and you can ask your question there. We look forward to receiving your questions and you may well be featured in a future episode. Okay, so for the final section of this episode of the Coffee Break French magazine, we're joined once again by Susie. Salut Susie!
Salut Marc!
Ça va?
Ça va bien, merci.
Alors, de quoi vas-tu parler aujourd'hui?
De fromage.
Ah, bah, d'accord, ok. Alors, vas-y.
Well, as you know, cheese is a very important part of French culture. There are many types of French cheese, which are divided into 8 categories called les 8 familles de fromage.
Okay, so 8 families of cheese. But how many types of cheese are there, actually?
Well, there are definitely over 400. Mm-hmm. Some people say over 1,000.
Wow, okay.
But there is a famous quote by the French president Charles de Gaulle, who says, comment voulez-vous gouverner un pays où il existe 258 variétés de fromage?
So how can you govern a country which has 258 types of cheese?
That's right.
I love it. Okay, excellent. So cheese really is a big deal in France.
Absolument. And therefore, it's not surprising that there is an idiomatic expression about cheese.
Okay, let's hear our idiomatic expression then.
Our expression is en faire tout un fromage.
So literally, of it to make all a cheese, or to make a whole cheese about it, yeah?
C'est exact.
Okay, so what does it actually mean, the expression?
It means to make a big deal of something.
Okay.
To make a fuss about nothing, mm-hmm. I suppose you could say in English, or to make a mountain out of a molehill.
A whole song and dance about something.
That's right.
Okay, I love it, yep.
Basically to exaggerate the importance of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that you start with something as simple as milk and you turn it into something more complex, like cheese.
Okay, so can you give us an example of this in a sentence?
Ce n'est pas la peine d'en faire tout un fromage.
So you would be saying something like, it's not worth making a whole big song and dance about it. It's not worth making a fuss about it.
Voilà.
Okay. Could you also change the fromage to toute une histoire?
You could indeed. You could say, pas la peine d'en faire toute une histoire.
So, pas la peine d'en faire toute une histoire. And the en is about it. That's what we're referring to, that en there. So, it's not worth about it, making a big story about it, a big fuss about it, a big deal about it.
C'est ça.
Okay, so we hope that you're able to use this phrase, en faire tout un fromage, at some point in the near future in your own speaking or writing. But that's where we'll leave it now. Merci, Susie.
Je t'en prie.
Alors, Pierre-Benoît, qu'est-ce que tu en penses?
Oh, this has been a fantastic episode, Marc. I really enjoy the variety, the phone-in, and then the wee segments there. Really, really good, really good.
And of course, we hope that you, our listeners, have enjoyed it. It's fantastic to be back in the studio recording more Coffee Break French content for you.
Oh, that's fantastic, Marc. But can you tell us how our listeners can get more out of this episode, please?
Absolutely. There is, of course, a premium version of this episode of the podcast in which you'll be able to access the transcript of all of the content included in the episode, the chats between Pierre-Benoît and me. We do tend to go off topic a little bit now and then, but that's okay. And, of course, there will be some additional materials too. And you can find out about all of that at the Coffee Break Academy. So simply head to coffeebreakfrench.com and there you'll find the link for the podcast and the premium version of the podcast. For now, that's it. We would like to say merci beaucoup, comme d'habitude, et à la prochaine.
D'accord, à la prochaine. Au revoir à tous.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.